Okay, last week we left off in Psalms chapter 90 at verse 10. I was just going through, well, what we'll do is I'll read Psalm 90 and we'll pick it up at verse 10. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. The man of God, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And I'm going to pick up right there. This verse here in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 and 10. And that is represented by the number 70. 70 is 70. But then the Lord goes on and says, And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Now these two words, strength, it's two different Hebrew words. And I'm not going to... Well, let me see if I can pronounce them. Geberach is the first one. And Rohab is the second one. And we're going to look at these two words, strength, and compare one to the other. And we read, For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And this cutting off is going to give us a picture, I think we're going to see, of the cutting off... from the wicked being cut off, the severing from the wicked, the separating of the wheat from the tares, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So this word cut off, we look into Romans, and we read in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. So God is talking about separating the wheat from the tares, the wicked from the righteous. And he tells us, if thou continue in his goodness, well, that'd be a good thing. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off, separated. Cast away. In Zechariah, we read in chapter 13, in verse 1, In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass, or the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live. for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And he shall it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for men taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So no doubt this is talking about Christ, but it is also talking about the body of Christ, and it is identifying, I think, with Jacob here. But in any event, it is speaking about Christ. It's identifying with the body of Christ, and we read where he says, and one shall say unto them, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and a third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So here God has given us a picture of the cutting off of the two-thirds, and one-third being left and being brought through the fire, and tried as silver or as gold. And of course we know, as silver is tried in the fire and it melts, the impurities raised to the top and it is skimmed off. And that is a picture of the body of believers. God preparing us as living stones, precious stones, to be become a dwelling place for the Lord. In Psalms chapter 37, we read in 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteousness, or of the righteous, is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So here, you know, we're seeing very clearly that this picture of being cut off is to be separated. It is the severing of the wicked from amongst the righteous. And God said that this would happen, of course, the timing would be at the end of the church age. It would be during the Great Tribulation. That is when he would sever the wicked from amongst the righteous. We see in this verse, Psalm 37:37 also, God speaks of the strength. It says here in verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of Jehovah, or of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So it is Jehovah, it is God who is our strength. And we're going to look a little more at this when we look at this word strength. But one more verse I want to share with cutting off. And that's in Psalms 37, verse 28, a few verses earlier than this. And it says, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So there is the separating, the cutting off of the wicked. As we read, for it is soon, in Psalms 90, verse 10, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now this word fly away, I think we can build a picture with it to be caught up into the air with the Lord, to be taken up in a cloud, to fly away, to be separated. When they're cut off, we fly away. And we know that the severing took place at midnight. God gives us the timing of that. and it is called midnight. So whenever we see in the Bible midnight, we're going to want to look at that word midnight and see how it identifies with the end of the church age, because it is in Matthew 25 where we read concerning the 10 virgins, when at midnight the cry went out. And that cry that goes out, that is identifying with "come out of her, my people." That's the cry. Because at midnight the cry went out, "come out of her, my people." We read about that in Revelation. But at midnight the cry went out, "go ye out to meet him." And so it is to come out, to come out of the church in this case, we have discovered. And that is the focus. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And of course, that is a picture of the last day, the end of the world, when God reveals himself in all of his glory. And I think that identifies with the flying away also, to be caught up with the Lord. But we see a picture here in Revelation 12, verse 5, concerning the Lord Jesus, where we read, "And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." And I think that is the most accurate picture of the flying away, to be caught up, to be taken up. And that is precisely what has happened to Christ. And we too, we are caught up into the clouds. We see Christ coming with great power. He's coming in the clouds. He's sitting on a cloud. It identifies with him ruling, the cloud being the body of believers. And we too are caught up. And the picture is given that when we become born again, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. And that we rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And the beginning of that 1,000 years is identified with the beginning of when we become born again. And that 1,000 years is the completeness of God's rule that he has in view. And in this case, it takes us off into eternity. It has no end. It goes off into eternity. We are born again. We receive our resurrected souls. But the Bible is clear that when we become born again, that Christ is within us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it is he that is seated in heavenly places. We are seated with him in heavenly places. He is ruling and reigning in our hearts. He is seated, and we are seated with him. And so therefore we too are caught up onto the Lord and onto his throne as we are ruling and reigning with Christ. Now, of course, it is Christ who is the elder, who is ruling and reigning, and he makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he commands the words that we should speak, and we therefore go forth preaching the gospel, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And so I think that is a picture of the flying away, to be caught up unto God, to become born again, to come up hither, to be caught into the clouds. Now, this word strength is a very interesting word, and we did see here in Psalm, the word was used in Psalms 37, 39, "For the salvation of the righteous is Jehovah, he is their strength in the time of trouble." And so when we look at Psalms 90, and we see in verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And that 70 years and 10, no doubt, identifies with the church age. It, number 70 is in view, and it identifies with the Lord sending forth the gospel, sending out the 70 two by two. So this gives us a picture of the gospel going forward, the 70. But then it goes on to say, "And if by reason of strength they be 70 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow." So, if by reason of strength, and that strength is one is a word, a Hebrew word, again, I'm not too sure how to pronounce this, I'll just do the best I can, gubarach, and that strength is Christ. Christ is our strength. And if by reason of strength they be 70 years, that's an additional 10 years. The 70 plus 10, 70 and 1. 70 and 1, threescore years and ten. So that's 70 years. And then, if by reason of strength, four scores, that's 80 years. So you got 70 plus 10. And that 10, we know that the number 10 identifies with the completeness of what God has in view. And in this case, the completeness that he has in view is the idea of the severing from the righteous, from the wicked away from the righteous, to separate the wheat from the tares, or the goats from the sheep. And he identifies another Jesus here. He identifies another strength. He identifies another gospel. And that one is the word Rohab. Which yet is their strength, labor and sorrow. Our strength is not labor and sorrow. Their strength is labor and sorrow. And it is a gospel that finds them in labor and in sorrow. And the Lord goes on and says, "For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." But let's look at this word strength here. We know that Christ is our strength. We read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. This word we're going to read is the word might. It's the very same Hebrew word as the word strength we find in Psalms 90. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge unto them that knoweth understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth within him. Thank thee and praise thee, O God, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might," or wisdom and strength. "And Christ is our strength. The Lord is our might. Jehovah is our strength and our might. And hast made known unto me how that we desire of thee, and thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." And so this word strength no doubt identifies with Christ. Again, we read in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14, "Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." And again, that's the same Hebrew word as we see in the first strength of Psalms 90. Now, the other strength, as we had mentioned, is a picture of another Jesus. It is another gospel. Yet is their strength, that's another group of people, there, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. They have another gospel. Their gospel is labor and sorrow. They have another Jesus. "For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The wicked is cut off, and we fly away. We are separated from them." We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." So here, Paul is speaking about those who would bring in another spirit. It's an unholy spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Another Jesus. They come in the name of Jesus. They use his name, but it is another Jesus and another gospel. They come with the Word of God underneath their arm. They carry their Bible. They open it up. They read a verse or two. And then they bring another gospel. They preach another word. They preach their own word, the mind of man, and not the mind of God, Genesis to Revelation. So we clearly see the warning that God has here, and he is clearly making clear the matter, as we read about in Daniel chapter 2. We also see, let me see, I think this is another place where we see this. Hang on a second. Okay, this is the other Bible. Let me look at it. Okay, yeah. In Galatians chapter 1, we read, let's see where we'll start. Maybe we should start in verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Isn't that interesting how the churches are trying to persuade, not only trying to persuade God, but they're trying to persuade men. Or do I seek to please men? And they indeed do seek to please men. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But the other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was known by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. And I'm going to stop right there. So we have a picture of a gospel. The one that Paul has brought to us, the one that he received not of men, but of God. It is God who gave him the gospel, and he gave it to us, and we bring it to others. It is Christ who has delivered it unto him. He has delivered the gospel. But he speaks of those who come with another gospel, and who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he warns us, if someone comes with another gospel that he hasn't preached unto you, even if it's an angel from heaven, and we know angel indeed, we know that Satan indeed does come about as an angel of light. Even if an angel from heaven comes and preach another gospel, don't receive it, reject it. And so anything that does not compare to God's word is not the gospel. And that's why, you know, we're very sensitive to this, to be like the Bereans, very sensitive. We know that we don't listen to one word that anybody says that we don't first go and prove it by Scripture. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we're busy as the Bereans searching the Scriptures to see if these things are so or not. And we know whether it's another gospel or not, because we have both letter and spirit. That is the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So, going back now to Psalms 90, and we see how we see these two strengths, and we see that it is cut off and fly away. Let's look back at verse 90, verse 10 again. The days of our years are 70 years. That's a fact. God says this. The days of our years are 70 years. That's 70. And He's not talking about the average life span. And He's not talking about your life span or my lifespan. He's talking about the body of Christ, the New Testament era. He's talking about the days of our years are 70 years. 70. It identifies with 70. And 70 is the time span of the New Testament era. And God speaks of this in different ways. He says a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And He gives us a timeline from Noah, 7,000 years, right up to the end of the world. 4990. Add 7,000, you got the end of the world. And He also gives us lots of information in the Bible, and He refers to the New Testament era as 1,000 years. He speaks about Satan being bound 1,000 years, and that begins at the cross, and that ended, that binding of Satan ended in September of 1994. Well, we know that by Scripture, that these things are so. And that 1,000 years, that 1,000, the number 1,000 is the completeness of what God has in view. And in this case, it is the completeness of the binding of Satan that God has in view in this world. And so therefore that 1,000 year has an end. The 1,000 years that we reign and rule with Christ is the completeness of what God has in view. And that interprets right off into eternity. It goes on forever and ever and ever. So, the days of our years be 70 years. And if by reason of strength, and our strength is Christ, it is the word of God, they be 70 years. That would be a total of 80 years, identifying with 70 plus 10. God has broken up the numbers. 70 plus 10. If by reason of strength, another 10 years, they be a full 80. And then God separates this strength from another strength, and He says, yet is their strength, another group of people's strength, that's the corporate body, yet is their strength, that's the unsaved in the church, that is the wicked in the corporate body, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. They labor and are in sorrow. We have peace. We have tribulation, but we also have peace, a peace not as the world brings to us, a peace that goes beyond understanding. And then He goes on and says, for it is soon cut off. So there is a time period when it is cut off. And we saw clearly that to identify with cutting off is the separating of the wicked from amongst the righteous. That is the cut off that is in view. For it is soon cut off. And when it is cut off, there is a release. We fly away. We are released from them. We fly away. And then God says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to the fear, so is thy wrath. So the next verse, verse 12, it gets really interesting, I think. These verses are the verses that caused me to look close at Psalms 90. We read in verse 12, so, in this fashion, the word so means in this fashion, so, teach us to number our days. We're asking the Lord to teach us to number our days. He's not talking about numbering the days of DBG or of Gordon or Jackie or myself or John R. or Susan or David or anyone in this room or anyone. He's not saying that we should ask the Lord to teach us to number our days. Not at all. The Lord tells us our days are already numbered, and He knows the every hair on our head, and they are numbered. But we don't know when our next breath is going to end. We don't know whether that's tonight, tomorrow morning, next week, next month, or 2011. We don't know when that's going to be. And God's not going to reveal it to us. One day, we're going to die. But there is the end of the world. The body of Christ, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And wisdom is God's word, that we may apply our hearts unto your word, Lord. And then God makes it clear on the table here, verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. So the Lord is clear that He is talking about the return of Himself, the return of our Savior, as far as to return for the purpose of casting this sin-cursed earth into hell eternal and delivering the righteous into eternity, changing us in the twinkling of an eye to give us our eternal spiritual bodies, whatever that might be. Return, O Lord, how long? How long to your return, Lord? Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to your word, so that we could know. Return, O Lord, how long is it before you would return? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Be merciful unto us, a sinner, Lord. We read in Romans chapter 9, verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. There are many that are going to be saved, but you know, looking at the numbers of the population of this world, it's a remnant. And God clearly tells us the number of that remnant in relationship to something else when we see the eight souls saved from an entire world from the flood. We see three souls saved from five cities being destroyed. That's a remnant. God gives us an example of a remnant. He speaks of the narrow gate, and few there be that find it. And that narrow gate, the idea that is in view, that one passes through at a time. It's a very narrow gate. But wide is gate, broad is the way that leadeth to everlasting destruction, the Lord tells us. And many there be that go that way, the Lord says. And we get pictures of legions going through that gate at one time. That's the picture that God gives us in the language. So Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah saith before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. And we remember that kind of language from Isaiah. I think that's chapter 5, or maybe chapter 1, where it talks about that we should have been like unto Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah, except for the pleasant plant that he had left in his vineyard. If it wasn't for that, it would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah a long time ago, because there'd be no preaching of righteousness. There'd be no preaching of Christ Jesus. There'd be no preaching of the true gospel. And the salvation would not be available. It would indeed be Sodom and Gomorrah. They'd be preaching another Jesus from day one. another gospel from day one. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followeth after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law? For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense. And who in this fashion ever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, the Lord says that he will finish the work, and he will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And God is speaking about shortening the days, making a shorter time. We read in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And God's not going to allow that wickedness to continue and ferment. He's going to cut it short, because he's going to cut the work righteousness. He's going to cut the work short in righteousness. And we're going to look and see that picture maybe, I think, where the Lord speaks about the shortening of those days. If those days are not be shortened, how does he put it? Then there shall be no flesh saved. And I've been back and forth on that, and I think a lot of us have. We kind of used to look at 2,300 days as the length of the Great Tribulation. We soon found correction of that as time has gone on, and we were kind of looking at possibly the 23 years as the full breadth of the Great Tribulation, and God cuts it short to 2,300 days. And we were definitely wrong with that one. But the second picture I think we have to look at could be that the Great Tribulation period in view in the Bible might be 70 years long, and God cuts it short at 23. Now, the point is that 23 years, at that point, the last individual to be saved would be saved. And now the world continues for a time without salvation available to anyone, and the wickedness would be tremendous. And for the elect's sakes, God's going to shorten the days. So that's a possible solution. I don't know that that is the case, because the Lord says no flesh shall be saved. And I think God gives us a hint of this when he says, when the Lord comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find it? We know he will, because he says that there'll be many in that day that will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Therefore, he has found faith. He has found the body of Christ still there, and he has found faith on the earth. Now, the earth being a picture of the corporate church, he won't find faith there, and that could be another reason why he asked that question. When the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? So I think that might have two meanings. But if we look at a picture of an additional 1,000 years, and I'm not too sure we could build that picture up, possibly can, because the reason I'm suggesting this is because I became aware of this particular verse from a call from the open forum, and someone brought these verses up of Psalm 90 concerning the 70 and 10, and Campin found it quite interesting, and the question was, could this help us to find the 7,000 years, and coming in from Noah to the end of the world? And his response was, you know, could be, you know, it's an interesting verse, and I guess he's looking into this. And so that's what caused me to look into this also. And if this can be related, and I don't know that it can, but if the 70 years could be related to 7,000 years, if that could be done, then the 10 years could be related to 1,000 years, and because it would make sense in a balance of logic, using biblical logic, of course. But we would have to have enough verses to build a case that 70 could be appreciated as 7,000. We do kind of find a problem because, well, no, not necessarily. If that could be done, okay, then that gives us another picture of 1,000 years. And if the world were to continue 1,000 years after the last individual was saved, then there'd be no flesh to be saved. Christ will not find faith on the earth, because the last individual would have passed away long time before, and judgment would have came 1,000 years later. Now, again, I don't know that we have a case for this, but I'm just bringing that up, and maybe others can pick up on that and consider that and see if there is some kind of relationship with the 70 and 7,000, and see if there is a relationship with the 10 and 1,000, and if there is, then maybe we can find this kind of harmony. But if there isn't, that's okay, because the 70 and 10, no doubt, gives us a harmony. It doesn't give us a harmony of a date, but it does give us a harmony of 70 identifying with the New Testament era and 10 identifying with the Great Tribulation and then the end of the world, Judgment Days. Looking at this day shortened in Matthew 24, just to look at these verses, we read in Matthew 24, verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And we read of this again in Mark 13:20, the same thing, "Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days." But this is what I find is interesting. God speaks of, and this is why I'm kind of suspecting there might be something to this 7,010 here, because of the strong delusion that God sends, that they prefer the lie, they deny the truth, and so God sends them strong delusion. And one of the biggest things in the churches is this delusion, this deluded idea that there's another 1,000 years to come. And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." You know, whenever the Lord speaks and says, remember ye not that I told you these things, to bring us into remembrance again, I think he uses this kind of language because he's speaking to the body of Christ. He's not speaking directly in this case to just one individual, although he is speaking to all, but he is speaking to the body of Christ. The body of Christ has had this knowledge. We are the body of Christ. And this knowledge concerning this great tribulation and the knowledge concerning the apostasy and the falling away and Satan taking a seat in the temple, the body of Christ has known that. But we went through the church age and we've been preaching the gospel and we wasn't focusing on the end of the world because it wasn't time. And then God brings to remembrance to the body of Christ. Christ being the head, bringing to the whole body the focus, the meat of this season. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth." They receive not the love of the Word. They receive not the love of Christ. They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they didn't receive the word, they rejected the truth. They did not receive him. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, so when we look at the Bible, but we can see how they make the case for 1,000 years. But they're not very carefully looking at the Bible. They're not looking at the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. And you know, I think we've discovered this in the past few years, that even line upon line and precept upon precept, all this has in God's timing when it is to be revealed. You know, we're not going to see these things before the time that God it has to reveal these things. And in these cases, they're being revealed just as they happen. We start to understand these things. Come out of her, my people. And they get preached unto us, and we go into the Bible, and we search the scriptures, and we see, yes, we need to come out. The scriptures are clearly telling us, and we see the great apostasia and the abomination of desolation as spoken by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, standing where it ought not to be standing. And let them who are in Judea flee into the mountains. Get closer to Christ. Flee unto God. Flee to the Word. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. And so we've seen these things as they are happening. In 2 Peter, we read in chapter 3, verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, bringing the body of Christ to remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You see, I think Christ is clearly telling us this here. Let's read this again. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds. What is our pure minds? It is the Word of God, the mind of Christ. That is the pure mind. Christ's mind is pure. And if Christ is dwelling within you, then his mind is dwelling in you, because the riches of his Word is dwelling within you. That's the treasures of the kingdom, dwelling in our soul, in our hearts, and therefore in our minds. The pure mind, by way of remembrance, through looking at Scripture, that ye may be mindful, our mind is to be full of these things, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first thing we need to know, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And anybody who has followed along with that 5 or 6 part study that was done at the 2004 Bible conference, actually it was a 13-part study, because those two conferences, the East Coast and the West Coast, were combined it as one study. And anybody who has followed along through that understands exactly what is going on here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and how God is identifying this 1,000 years as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, as in the days of the flood, as Noah. Remember when Noah knew many, many years before the world was going to come to the end, that it was going to come to an end in his lifetime. He knew it. The Lord told him so. And he said, build an ark. And he built the ark. And the ark was done. And we picture him as a preacher of righteousness, preaching righteousness, and the ark behind him mocking him. And yet, one day, the Lord comes to him and says, Noah, 7 days, I'm going to destroy the world. So Noah knew 7 days before, he knew that the world was going to come to an end. And here God is saying, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. 7 days. And we take those 7 days and we give 1,000 years as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, and we got 7,000 years. And we know the year of the flood, 4990. And we know the math, and we know the year of that focus. And it is just around the corner. It's so close, we could reach out and touch it. Now, another interesting picture is that the revealing of this study came in January of 2004. And 7 years later, 7 days, 7 years, 7,000 years, if we looked at 7 years later, it falls into the same year as the 7,000 years. So I don't know if that has any significance, but nothing is without design. God has designed it all. And so it's very interesting we find another seven here. 7 years before, we too find out. Yet 7 days, the day of the Lord. The sounding of the seventh trumpet, in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, spiritually maybe 7 days, but in fact 7 years. Anyway, something to think about, and I think we can see the harmony here of these sevens. And God has always worked through the harmony of sevens. The 70, going out 2 by 2, 7 times 70. 490, and we know how that path goes for those of us who have been looking at these things, and then multiply that again. Going back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 I'll pick it up in. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that they all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hastening on to the coming of the day of God, whereon the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, brother, beloved, seeing that you know such things, be diligent. Diligent is to look into God's word, to study God's word. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also with the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error, or the delusion — the word error is the same word to use for delusion — being led away with the delusion of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in knowledge, grow in grace. Be diligent. Look into the word. Know the truth. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of delusion," the spirit of error. Jude chapter 1, verse 10. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them." When we see this word woe, it perks my ears up. It makes me think of the three woes immediately. "Woe unto them that have come in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error, or the delusion of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." They gone in the way of Cain. What has Cain did? Cain rose up and killed his brother. Cain killed Abel. They have gone in the way of Cain. They have killed his brother. They have killed the two witnesses. Woe, first woe, Satan loosed. Woe, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the delusion or error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you. Remember, the Lord said, "My brother has done this to me. My brother has risen up against me." And again, "My brother has risen up against the body of Christ and slew us." He has silenced us. We are killed all the day long. We are stoned. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of the winds. Trees whose fruits withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They have no root. Raging waves of the sea, they're of the world, the sea. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, coming as an angel of light. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Going back to Psalms chapter 90, going into verse 14 here now. I think we have a clear picture here in Psalms 90, verse 12 and 13. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto thy word, unto wisdom. Concerning return of the Lord, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Be merciful unto me, a sinner." Verse 14, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted or humbled us, and by the years wherein we have seen evil or judgment. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So here is the body of Christ praying that the Lord shall establish our work, not that the work of our hands be of our own works, that the Lord establish the work. Let me read that again. Verse 17, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And the beauty of the Lord is Christ, the Word of God. "Let it be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hand upon us." Yea, the work of our hands established thou it. It's an underscorement that the Lord should establish his work through the work. He is we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and we are the ambassadors. We are the body. We go forth preaching and teaching the gospel. Now, I'm going to finish this up. I'm very close. We only have a few more verses. It might be another 10 or 15 minutes because I don't want to pick this back up next week, and I think now I can bring this together in three studies instead of two. So I'm going to continue here and finish this up. The beauty of the Lord, we read in Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of the tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And we can really relate to these verses here, how he has hidden us in the time of trouble in his pavilion, in the body of Christ, the time of trouble, and we have stood strong declaring the word of God in the time of trouble. We have been hidden in his body, in his tabernacle, in his pavilion. Let me read the first verse again. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the word of God, the beauty of the Lord, the word of God, and to inquire in his temple. You know, the body of Christ edifies itself in love through the preaching and teaching of the word of God. And we all find correction and edification one to another. The okidome, the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ, the building of the Lord, the living stones built up for that dwelling place. Christ himself dwelling within us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And I'll tell you, when I first read these verses, I had to read this over and over and over again, because I couldn't believe what I was reading when I discovered these verses in 1 John chapter 3. I still can't believe what I am reading in 1 John chapter 3. Isaiah 65 verse 21, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. But mine elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. That's the bringing of the gospel. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 5, we read, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob was 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And I was looking at this, and I just wanted to bring this verse up, because I think this might have something in it. We see the number 70 here, and 70 souls. And this is what comes up out of Egypt, and we know the picture, the church age, coming up out of Egypt, coming up out of the church. And it talks about Joseph was in Egypt already. Let me rephrase this, because I misspoke that. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. So anyway, I'm not too sure how to relate this, but in any event, I wanted to look at that verse and bring that up, and maybe someone else can run with this 70 and see if we can relate it to something other than the 70, which we do see, but if we can relate it to 7,000. Alright, I'm going to end it there. I'm going to end it there reading a passage of Luke, and that'll be it. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before the face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, if Christ be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again, and in the same house remain eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and unto whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as ye set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, ye be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in the day of for Sodom and for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, thou be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me, despiseth me him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me, O my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye have heard, and have not heard them. And that's the gospel. And that 70, no doubt, is identifying with the church age.